You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Napoleon Grills. Just like a great meal, Napoleon Grills are made with premium ingredients. An ignition system powered by jet engine technology. Gas burners that provide even heat. Safety glow lights that let you know when the gas is on. An infrared sizzle zone for perfectly seared steaks. Plus, they're built to last with industry-leading warranties. Napoleon Grills. Innovation built better. Learn more at napoleon.com.
Hey, Kate. Do you know what time it is?
Yeah, it's 3:50 Central Standard Time.
No, it's Turkey Lurkey time.
What's that from?
Hey there, welcome back
to another episode of What's That From?
This week, we'll be exploring the musical Promises, Promises.
Ooh, Promises, Promises.
More like cheating, cheating.
Yeah, that's what they should have named it, Cheater, Cheater.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally...
the plot of the show.
That's the plot. That's the 30-second plot challenge. Yeah,
more like 2-second plot challenge. Cheats, cheats.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, this one was a wild ride for sure, but...
Do you want to give a go
for a 30-second plot challenge? I was just waiting for you to ask me. I was like, is he going to like just skip over it? Like, did we make a joke and we're skipping it? We didn't.
30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
All right. I'm prefacing this by I'm not using any character names. I'm just going to give a basic overview. Okay.
3, 2, go.
Guy wants to work his way up in a corporate office, decides to give his apartment to higher ups to have affairs so that he can move up. So he's buying his way. And then there's a girl involved who the boss is having an affair with, but that he also loves, and he's having the affair in his apartment, so it's this like weird triangle thing, and then in the end obviously everything goes right in the wrong way.
Good. You had 5 seconds left.
Thanks. Great.
Nice. That was good.
It's kind of like I feel like the thing with like a lot of these, like this musical's from the 60s, I feel like they're all very like, here's the big plot. Like, they're all just, like, very, like, whodunit? There's a relationship issue. Oh, no! We're in the corporate office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we could dive a little deeper and get some characters.
Yeah. It's really hard not to expand on this because there's really not that much detail with it. I mean, it's this guy works for the company. Like you said, wants to move up. And the way he moves up in the company or gets ahead or gets himself in good favor is to loan his apartment to his other associates so that they could cheat on their wives secretly because they can't bring them at home or they'll get caught. And he has been eyeing this girl who was like a waitress at the restaurant in the company building. And he like starts to talk to her and like finally gets her to like want to go out on a date with him, but then he gets set up by her because she's actually been having an affair with the boss. And like the first chunk of it.
Yeah, I feel like that's like, yeah, I think the main thing. And then he kind of is like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to be giving my apartment like for everyone. And they're like, well, then where are we supposed to take our like affair? Yeah. For only like 20 or 30 minutes. Like, I don't want to get a whole hotel room if it's only going to be like an hour. And I don't want to like take them home because I'll get caught. So then they're all like, darn, what are we going to do? And then And then the big plot twist is that Fran is the waitress who's having this affair with the boss, who obviously she's like one of many affairs that he's had. So she's like, I thought you loved me. And he's like, yeah. She's like, oh. And then so she gets really depressed and she tries to commit suicide in his apartment.
And in like the main character's apartment.
Yes.
His name is Chuck. Chuck's apartment.
In Chuck's apartment. So she tries to commit suicide. And then Chuck comes up with this like drunk girl that he meets at this bar when they're both like sad. And then he comes up there with this drunk woman that he meets at a bar because they're both like, it's Christmas and they're
lonely.
And then he comes upstairs and she's just like passed out in his room. And he's like, what? And so then
they get a doctor to come, or he calls the boss and he's like, I can't come help you. Like, I'm with my family. If I leave my family, they're going to know that I'm cheating. And then he's like, here, like, get the doctor. So then the doctor comes and they help take care of her.
Yeah. And then they like take care of her for like a little while. Like, they take care of her and then they like start playing games and like hanging out because they're like nursing her back to health, you know? And then.
And they're worried that like if they leave her alone, that she'll try to kill herself again. So they're trying to like keep her under like watch the whole time.
And then like Chuck and Fran start having like little heart to hearts about like, oh, love's the worst. Like, this sucks. Like, and they're like always playing card games and doing whatever in the apartment. And then finally, like, the office kind of like gets set straight. Like,
somebody finds out that she's been staying there at Chuck's apartment. And since to get back at him for like not letting anybody cheat on their wives at his apartment, they tell Fran's brother and he goes to save her because he thinks something's going on. He thinks that she's being like held captive there. And he punches Chuck in the face to release his sister.
Yeah. Yeah, this second act is like, so I'm like, whoa.
It gets wild. Yeah, like it gets so wild.
Yeah, and then in the end, they obviously
the boss.
They out the boss to his wife, and then it sort of ends with Fran and Chuck like kind of discovering like, oh, like, so you do love me, kind of thing, and then it ends.
Kind of dark.
It is kind of dark.
Kind of like grimy and dark.
Yeah, it is kind of dark, which is so odd because I feel like all the promotional material and or the way that they presented it like does not look like that. It's like promises, a musical comedy.
and the music is so bubbly.
Yeah.
It's all like ba 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 ba. Like, yeah, it's literally all bubbly.
Yeah, it is kind of, and then I think the thing that's also a little misleading, I guess, like, the promises title, I feel like, is really in reference to like the executives promising that they'll like make him a higher up if he does this stuff for them. But I really thought the promises thing was going to be about like a cute love story. And then it was like so many people cheating and selling out an apartment.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is not what I would have expected by the promotional material.
It's also kind of like promises, like your promise that you kept to your wife, but that you're breaking, like promises.
Yeah, promises. That promise I made to my wife. Yeah, that's funny. It's like, it's such an odd thing. Like, I feel like with the pajama game too, I feel like a lot of these shows that are older, some of the topics, I'm like, did we need to do that?
Yeah.
But, you know.
Oof. It's so tough. Like, again, like, this has another kind of thing that Pajama Game gave me less, because the Pajama Game wasn't as grimy as this. Pajama Game was a little more like a leaning on the side of gross, but this was like full on, like, the whole plot is everybody just making bad decisions of being gross. And what I was saying is, in the same way, it's hard because like there are parts of the plot and the story that just like make me want to cringe, but the music I'm in love with, like, I love the music of the Java Game. love the music in this. Like,
yeah.
So good. I love 60s music. Like, I think it's
important to note, like, this musical premiered in 1968. So it's from the 60s. And it was written by, so the music was by Burt Bacharach. Is that how you say that?
I think so.
And, with lyrics by Hal David. And, Bacharach was like a 60s composer. Like, he just
wrote. Like a pop music writer.
Yeah. And so I think that's what's so cool about the music from Promises, Promises is like, it sounds like the radio tunes of the time.
Right. Like, this was like, I do not quote me on this, but this was like Hamilton. You know what I mean? Not in the sense of like how revolutionary it is, but in the sense of like, it's not Broadway music. It's contemporary, like what's like what people listen to on the radio kind of music.
There's a like a review from the New York Times. It says, what really set it apart was its score, written by the Solid Gold pop composer Burt Bacharach with lyrics by Hal David. Mr. Bacharach introduced to Broadway not only the insistently rhythmic commercial jingle buoyancy of the 1960s softcore radio fare, but also a cinematic use of Teflon smooth offstage backup vocals, which is
cool. Yeah, I love the harmonies and the backup vocals here in the song.
Like always ambiently in the background.
Yeah,
the music is phenomenal. And I think it's because, and a lot of these songs are like standalone songs as well.
Yeah.
So like the, Say a Little Prayer and, what is that one? The House Is Not a Home.
Right. They were added for the revival.
Yes. And those were just popular songs written by
the composer. But the thing is, House Is Not a Home is like my favorite. Like, I know it's not really one of the music songs from the musical, but that is my favorite song in the whole show. Like, I love that song.
I feel like it's one of those. There are some songs I feel like just throughout history that are inherently theatrical. I feel like that's one song that like you can't just like stand up in front of like a band and just like rock out to it. Like, you have to like be feeling something to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I like that song and Whoever You Are, I Love You.
Yeah.
I really liked those.
Yeah.
And I'll Never Fall in Love Again. I really like
that.
That's
a good song too. Yes. And my personal favorite song is the You'll Think of Someone. That little duet that they have. It's just so cute. All of them are so like delicate and cute.
They're so cute. Yeah, like even Upstairs, even though it's about like the guys going to cheat on their wives, I thought that song was so cute.
Me too. And also like I just think a lot of these songs too, like for the men out there, like there are some really good male songs in here that I think you could like act really well. Like I thought like She Likes Basketball, I've never heard someone sing that. Also like Upstairs, like I don't know, there were a lot of songs where I was like, oh my god, why have I never heard someone sing this?
I sang Half as Big as Life for my Chorus Line audition because it's like that kind of like retro music, musical theater-y sound. So yeah.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune into the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Yeah, the music is great. Like, would highly recommend. Also, the most ignorant thing I've ever done was scheduling this musical for Thanksgiving week because of Turkey Lurkey Time, when literally the whole musical is about Christmas.
Yeah.
I literally was like, Turkey Lurkey Time, Promises, Promises, incredible. I guess that really proves I literally knew nothing. Also, half the lyrics in Turkey Lurkey Time are like, jingle
bells. Yeah, snowy, blowy Christmas, a mistletoe Christmas.
I'm literally like, Turkey Lurkey, it's Thanksgiving, and that was incorrect, so.
LOL.
Yeah, whoopsie.
There were some pretty cool people, though, involved in the original production. Like Michael Bennett choreographed it.
Yes. So
before the Chorus Line, when he was like more on the rise, which iconic, Turkey Lurkey is one of the best musical theater dance numbers in history.
So good.
And it has nothing to do with the plot.
Nothing to do with it. They're like, and then there's a Christmas party. And then the rest of the plot happens. Like,
and then these girls are like whacking and like throat breaking their necks.
Yeah, they really are giving it their all. But like, I think the thing too is like this original production of it in 1968 ran for 1,281 performances. Wow. That's a lot of performances. The revival ran for 291 performances.
Yeah. Well, like, that's probably just, it's a little outdated.
Oh, it definitely is. And so, but I think it's interesting to like, no, like in the 60s, this was doing great. People were like, we're really eating this up.
And Jerry Orbach was in it. He's a big name. He won a Tony Award for it. He won Best Actor, I think, right?
Yeah, and so did, who else won the?
Marianne Mercer for Best Featured Actress.
Yes, and I think actually, did she play the same role that Katie Finneran played in the revival? Because that was like the same thing. Like, I guess that must just be like a really standout role.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah, it was cute. It was really cute. Yeah. That was one of those songs where I was like, wait, I feel like I've heard this before and was like, what's that from?
A classic. We love when we get the line dropped, you know? Yeah.
I really liked the Tony Award performance for the revival too, from Rob Ashford choreographed it. Those girls were spinning around and then they were literally stepping on the rolly chair, being rolled around while their leg was in like a ponche on that rack.
It was so good.
It was so good.
And they were all being like whacked around on the desk, like literally like dropping into the splits, like flipping. I was like, take back everything. My favorite song is the overture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, they really did just do that. Like, nobody spoke a single word on their Tony performance. Kristen Chenoweth was not even present. They were like, we don't need her.
I like her voice in this. I really liked it. One of the reviews I read that was like, Kristen Chenoweth's voice just like doesn't, like, isn't, what did they say? It was just like, it wasn't her style or something. And I was like, I think she sounds perfect. I think she sounds great.
I know. That's what I thought too. I read a lot of reviews though, that character is kind of like ho-hum, like a kind of, I don't know, like beaten down character. And she's too like powerful. People are like, she looks like she has too much like power. So it's hard to believe that she like is so weak.
Right.
It's kind of a backwards compliment.
Right. I thought she sounded good.
Yeah, she did sound really good.
Sean Hayes was nice.
I thought he sounded good too. And I mean, he got good reviews. The revival overall did not really get great reviews. People said it's just kind of cringy. This whole like secretary is an object, selling rooms to cheat on your wife thing. It just like gets old, I think. Right. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think in 2010 it was like, why? But the dancing is so good.
Yeah, it was great.
It's like a vehicle for like really talented people to do really cool stuff. But like the story just gotta go.
Right. It's a lot of old shows.
I know. And the music is so good. I wish you could just like take all the music, like let's keep those, and then like let's just like make it a little new plot.
I know. People they do that with movies all the time. They remake movies all the time. Yeah. And like we could totally just rewrite musicals and update them.
Yeah.
This is based on a movie, actually. The Apartment, a 1960 film that starred Shirley MacLaine.
You gotta love it.
Love it. It's supposed to be, like, a really good movie, too. I was kind of, like, skipping through clips of it. But it's, like, supposed to be, in, like, it says on Wikipedia, it says that it's regarded as one of the greatest films ever made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a look. Maybe I'll add it to my watch list.
The Apartment.
The Apartment. Yeah, but I do think that, I don't know, I do think that I would, like, highly recommend this album, and I wish I could have seen the production of it, either production of it. I would have just loved to see the full thing, because there is not a lot of videos, really. But, like, concert stuff or like a few like the Tonys or, and I tried, oh my gosh, do not watch Promises, Promises on Amazon Prime. It's not the movie that this is based off of or anything about.
What was it?
It was like this, it was an old movie, but I started watching it and I was like, this does not seem correct. Like, it was just not even remotely the same thing. So if you're looking to watch Promises, Promises, this would be a great movie musical, though. Like a Hairspray. Like, I could see, because I think what people were saying about the success of the revival was like solely based on Mad Men being a fad.
All right.
Like, wow, that'd be so cool if they made like a Mad Men, like really chic, like movie of this.
Yeah, definitely. Vamp up the script, make it a little more, I mean, a little less insulting.
Yeah, and I think it could be like, no, I think it could be cool. You heard it here first, folks. The Promises, Promises movie. Yeah, there's just kind of an underappreciated.
I think a lot of these songs people could sing in a cabaret or something.
And none of them are too long. Like, they all are like, the perfect little length, I thought.
They don't, like, ever go anywhere, like, crazy, like, ridiculous, like, impressive. But, like, it doesn't really, like, call for it. Like, they're all just kind of, like, sweet, bubbly, chill songs. But, like, there's a lot of, like, musical elements that are really interesting that they do that I think it's because it sounds more like just, like, pop music from the 60s. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Why do you think they added those songs in the 2010 revival?
I think because they wanted to give Kristen Chenoweth more songs.
Fair.
Yeah, because I think she was a star and they were like, we need to give her more content.
Yeah, she kind of didn't have that much except for those songs, I guess.
I bet she might have probably even asked for them.
When I first listened to the album, I was like, this is Glee. I know all these songs from Glee.
Yeah.
Wow. I was like, so Glee did teach me something, huh?
She sang A House Is Not a Home on Glee, too.
Yeah, and so did Kurt. And
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
But Say a Little Prayer. That's like, I associate that
with
Glee.
Way more. Yes. Yeah. I literally was like, my jaw dropped. Because I think on the album, for whatever reason, I don't know if they come right after another. But I just, like, both of them came on, and I was like, no way. No way! I was like, I'm just watching an episode of Glee right now. Oh, yes, because Turkey Lurkey Time with the Kiki. When they do the Let's Have a Kiki.
And Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I was like, wait, Let's Have a Kiki Turkey Lurkey Time. I totally forgot. Yeah, it's too good.
What would you rate this show, Promises, Promises?
I think I'd have to give it, like, a 6. I love the music. Like, I really love the music. And, like, I've liked most of the music that we've listened to, but, like, I've been listening to Promises, Promises on repeat. Like, I can't, like, it's stuck. I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah, I think if it was based on story, like, the show itself, I'd give it maybe, like, a 4, 4.5. But because I do like the score so much, it does, like, curve it up to, like, a 5.5, 6.
Yeah. Because, like, and I think, too, what's really great about Promises, Promises is the orchestrations. Like, I think the songs are good, but, like, the orchestrations are also just, like, what? Like, that's why the overture, like, I feel emotions from simply just the overture. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, like, the kind of music that just, like, if you didn't dance to it, you'd be doing it a disservice. Like, it's just so good.
There's that one really good dance break in one of those songs. I don't, was it the Christmas one? Where they're at the bar.
Oh, that's a fact can be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, there was like a really good dance break with a bunch of good music.
Well, because that's with that's the girl, that's the part that everyone wins a Tony for.
Maybe one day we'll get to see it. I doubt, though, that people don't ever do this show.
Yeah. I know. The end was kind of cheesy, too. I mean, I liked it, but, like, on the album, I was like, oh, no. And I was like, I could just tell that this is, like, the last line of the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love you. And she's like, sorry, I didn't hear you. What? And he's like, I just adore you. And she's like, deal me another hand. And, like, it's dun, dun, dun. I was like, oh, jeez, no.
Yeah.
Tongue-in-cheek, like, 60s. What's with the 60s, though, doing, like, so many shows about climbing the executive ladder.
Yeah, literally. How to succeed, this. Yeah.
Yeah. I would like literally recommend this album 100%. The Revival, flawless vocals.
Yeah. I'd like to, I honestly have to admit that I didn't listen to much of the old recordings that there are. I think there's some on YouTube, so I should check those out, but I suggest listening to Kristen Chenoweth. Yeah, I just think you can't go wrong with her voice.
And the album is not that long. Like, it's like a perfect little length. Every song is just like a perfect little bit.
Well, I think this is a wrap on Promises, Promises.
Yeah, this is our Thanksgiving episode. Turkey Lurkey Thanksgiving.
Woohoo! Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to all of you listening right now.
Yeah. To all of our listeners out there, eat some turkey lurkey, do some loosey goosey, and
don't break your promises.
I was trying so hard to find a pun. I was really like aggressively reading this list of songs. I was like, oh no, no, no! The house is not a home. See you next week.
Well. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Check out our Instagram for our Musical Monday reveal.
Yes. Our Instagram handle is WTF_BWay. That's WTF_BWAY. Like Josh said, every Monday we reveal our musical so you can listen and learn before we review it on Wednesday.
We'll see you then.
Woohoo! Big announcements to come.
Big announcements.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.